Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star
Safari. Well, hello again to Y-Space.
Yes, welcome to our show.
There's a comet coming.
Okay.
And it might be really spectacular. And now, of course,
another one of these really spectacular comments. Yeah, that nothing happens.
Yeah, too. Nothing happens. So you got to take it with a grain of salt, right? So the word is there's a comet coming. It's getting closer and closer to the sun. A few of our friends have taken some photos of it. It's looking pretty cool. When it goes around the sun, and if it survives the experience, which is a big if, it might well be a very, very bright comet. In fact, the sort of upper end of what it might look like are even suggesting there's a very small chance we may even see it during the day. So that's pretty significant.
Okay.
Now, that's what we say a non-zero chance, which means it's anything up to zero, which means it might not happen. But regardless, the comet is visible at the moment. You can see it. In fact, maybe not now. It might be a bit too close to the sun now. But it certainly was last week. It was very low on the horizon just after the setting sun. And there has been some quite cool little photos of it. Not very bright, not spectacular, of course, at this stage. And very much need a telescope for it. But once it comes back around the other side, that's when things are going to heat up.
Well, I hear the story for, I think, a few years now.
Every year.
There's a great comet, very possible. Everybody be on alert, and then it goes around the sun, and boom.
Well, the thing is, with this comet, it's in the same family of comets that have produced a lot of the most spectacular comets in the last few hundred years. So it's of a comet that broke apart or a icy snowball that broke apart a few years ago, like thousands, and made lots of little comets, which are all quite big. And there have been these great comets that we've been able to look at through history. Like and you see these enormous pictures of them that people painted like hundreds of years ago.
Which have enchanted people to come here in the Southern Hemisphere, and especially in New Zealand, that were all these great comets in the 1800s that were so prized, so described, so written about, and truly spectacular.
Yeah, and they the comets themselves, well, to be a great comet is one that you see from, you see without a telescope. So you've got to be able to see the tail.
Yeah.
Now, we had a great comet by definition last year? 2020, I think it was 2024. Anyway, one of the 2020 somethings.
It was really good. It was, but it was faint. We took pictures of it.
Yeah, it was really faint. You could barely see it at all. But still, you could see it. So by definition, it was a great comet. It wasn't really that great, though, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was didn't you call it mediocre?
Yeah, the mediocre comet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Anyway, we can't say more about that. We have to wait for it. We'll see what's going on. I really hope that will be a great comet. The best comet I've ever seen, it's McNault. And that was many, many, many years ago. And it was 2007, I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
So the key date for this one will be really from about April the 1st.
Okay. That's around the corner.
Yeah, that's when it goes around the corner.
Is that a joke?
That's when it goes around the corner. Goes around the sun, I think, on the 2nd or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's not a 1st of April thing.
No, despite it being near the 1st of April, it's not an April Fool's joke. And then it'll pop around the sun and starts going the other way. So the tail will kind of, well, if it's enormous, will kind of go from where the setting sun is up to about where Orion is out on the to the west-ish, northwest, that kind of area. Hopefully we see it.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I was saying, it'd be nice to have a really big comet. That's super impressive. Of course, comets, they are just basically dirty snowballs, and they have the big tail because the sun's basically melting them. And so the stuff they're made of is turning to gas and getting pushed out away from the sun. There's also like an iron tail as well, which is not iron as in what your railway lines are made of. Other chemicals getting pushed off the comet makes kind of a secondary tail. But they're quite cool. They are cool to see, and I think they're cool to see because you just don't see them that often.
Yeah, and they're scary. So when you look at comets,
Scary.
yeah, like
I've
if
never
you
been
see,
scared of a
no,
comet.
like think about it in the past. If you see a great comet, it looks as if it falls onto Earth. Now, if you were hundreds of years ago and you had no idea what it was, it really looks falling because of the tail. It's
True.
heading down. It's heading towards the sun. The sun is under the horizon, so it totally looks like it's falling onto Earth. So I totally get why people were so scared about these comets and why they were always considered, or for many, many times, many cultures were considered an omen of death and destruction.
I've personally never been scared of a
No,
comet.
I've been
No.
very
Have you
excited.
ever been scared of a comet?
No,
No.
but I can imagine, because it got me thinking, why on earth people were scared of comets? They're so cool. And then I saw one of those drawings, the tapestry from
Bay of Trappistry. Yeah. So we should be scared of comets, though, because occasionally
You
they,
just said we shouldn't be scared
well,
of them.
no, we're scared of them because we go, oh, look, it's like falling out of the sky. Well, sometimes they do actually hit the planet.
What?
Yes, comets can hit the planet, hit Earth. They're just like anything else, whizzing through space, they can smack into other things. So comets can hit the Earth.
Yay.
Now, that hasn't happened, obviously, for
That's the
a while.
title of my new t-shirt.
Comets can hit the Earth, so we shouldn't be scared of them because they do other things like I don't know, make people lose wars or whatever. They actually make big holes in the ground, or could, and some of them are quite big too, so they make an awfully big hole in the ground.
Well, okay.
But this one's not going to hit us, so relax, everyone. When it goes around the sun, though, it's going to get very close to the sun. It's going to get so close to the sun, it's going to be closer to the sun than the moon is to the Earth, which is the moon's quite close to the Earth, astronomically speaking. For human speaking, it's an awfully long way away. But remember, the sun's real big. The sun's 1.5 million across, and this comet is going to get within a couple of 100,000 kilometers of the sun. So that's in the real hot area, actually in its chronosphere. So in that atmosphere of the sun, which will be really interesting. Talking about the sun, there's been a few aurora lately.
Yeah,
We saw one last weekend, didn't
which was very cool.
we? Yeah.
Yeah. And
So,
because last week we were at the star date here in Carleton, and we went to do observing at West Taratahi Hall on Saturday, and everybody was excited because there weren't any clouds, and the comet was very hard to see, really, really hard to see. And so someone said, "Hey, what's the story with those lights? The horizon on southeast is very, very bright. What's going on?"
and then there was one of those beams shooting up, eh?
Yeah, they were like, "We thought this place was a dark sky in the middle of the dark sky reserve."
Yeah, someone's making light pollution to the south.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that was the sun doing that.
So that's the reason why we couldn't see the comet properly, because
Of Aurora.
of aurora. Yeah. But speaking of the sun, I'm excited about Project Hail Mary.
Oh, the movie. Yeah,
Yeah.
true. That's out, isn't it? Or about
Yeah,
to be out.
well, it's about to be out. So if you haven't planned to buy the tickets, go and buy the tickets. It's meant to be an amazing movie. We have read the book, and it's been probably one of the best books I've ever read. But then I'm totally biased towards science fiction. So actually, I'm so totally biased towards science fiction that I would only read science fiction if I had the choice. But you have to read some other books too.
I only read non-fiction
That's good on you. And
and science
it's
fiction.
been an exceptional book. And it's funny because the main character, his name is Ryland, and it's played by Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Rylan Grace, played by Ryan Gosling. So very cool. But what I'm very excited is that the people who saw it, they say that the science is going to be good. So
it's an astrobiology story. This is the thing, right?
Yeah, it is. So it is an astrobiology book and movie, and probably when I read it, I thought it was one of the best astrobiology ideas that I've ever heard. And
Star Wars is astrobiology.
How?
Well, it's life not on Earth.
So I got so excited when I read the book that I wrote to Andy Ware, the author, and I said every single teacher in New Zealand should read your book. It's been an exceptional book, and I did say really good words about the book. I was very, very excited, and guess what? He wrote me back. He said thanks. How cool was that?
Yeah.
Got a thanks email back from Andy Ware. That's on my wall.
Just a thanks.
But yeah. Hey, it was thanks.
That's right.
It was reply.
That's not the time to press send. To press reply send. And send.
Yeah. And it was him, not his secretary or anything. Yeah.
So it's totally worth.
Signed himself Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the movie will be awesome. And, you know, and there has been some reviews on it saying it's really good. But the book is absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, totally. If you get a chance, go and see the movie. You probably have to walk because no one can afford to drive anymore. So we might have to watch
bicycle. We've been doing a lot of bicycling lately.
Yeah,
because we thought it was fun, but now we're like, oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, it'll be maybe on Netflix. I don't know. How do people watch movies now?
I don't know.
Yeah, we only watch.
They read books.
We've only watched them on Netflix, haven't we?
Yeah, I think they go to movie theaters.
Do they still run?
Yeah.
But you get popcorn.
They have coffee and popcorn.
Popcorn, yeah. Would be cool seeing it on a big screen, though, wouldn't it? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be. Mm. It would be. So I don't want to give much away from this movie for people who actually might not have read the book. I don't believe there is anybody who didn't read the book.
Yeah.
But just in case. And super, super excited about it.
Can't really say anything about it without giving it away. That's the thing.
Well, actually, since the movie is already in theaters.
Yeah. Well, you can go online and see the trailer.
Yeah, go online and see it. Yeah. So
the trailer, yeah.
Yeah. So the movie talks about a theory called panspermia, which is the idea that what if life came from space? Which is so interesting. And it's been in kind of like circulation for very, very, for a very long time. And for many years, scientists were like, oh, this is a very silly idea. How can life come from space? But now we have more and more evidence that a lot of the things that we're made from come from space. And the best thing that we came across a few years was when all those spacecraft went to these asteroids and they mined the asteroids and they came back with samples and, well, actually took the sample from the asteroid. No, they didn't really
mining might be a bit of a stretch,
but they came back with the samples and they were like, oh yeah, we have proof that the nucleobases, the adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine, and uracil, which are forming every strand of DNA and RNA, so both DNA and RNA have these things on them, they were found in asteroids. And that was exceptional. That was an incredible discovery. And so we've got all these compounds that are making life that have been discovered in space. And it's not so silly, Billy, to think that maybe life possibly, or I don't know, it's more and more possible that maybe life came from outer space. I don't know, I hope so. Sometimes some of the things that are happening here on Earth feel so alien.
Well, I think a few people have probably come from outer space. Or maybe it's the reverse, want to send a few people to space.
Beam from there, yeah.
So did you hear that?
No.
Did you hear that?
What?
That's the sound of silence.
Oh.
From the Artemis 2 program.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you haven't heard is a rocket launch in February or March.
No.
Maybe April will be when Artemis 2 finally gets off the ground and trundles around the moon with four very excited astronauts who, of course, have been waiting to hop on their rocket and whiz around the moon.
But to be fair, they need to be safe. So
they do. Yeah.
I would rather be safe than dead.
Well, true, yes.
So it's okay.
No,
what
totally,
people
yeah.
What people don't understand is how hard space flight is, and especially how hard space flight is safely in a safe environment. Leaks.
Well, that's right. So you've got a rocket. Well, in fact, in the case of the space launch system, it's a big rocket. It's got two solid rocket boosters sitting on either side of it. And those things are crazy. When you just light them, they go. And then you've got the liquid propellant in the main rocket, which is hydrogen and oxygen, I think. Bruce Ellis. Anyway, if you light it, it goes boom, which is the whole principle. It runs the rocket engines. So they're sitting on a lot of rocket fuel, and there's always a risk of something real bad happen. So you imagine you've got this enormous tower that's like quite a few stories high, filled up with highly volatile fuel, and there's four little people sitting on the top of it waiting to go to the moon. You want everything to work, otherwise the whole thing blows up, which is not going to be a whole lot of fun. So what they found why the March launch got delayed was there was a helium leak somewhere in it, a seal or something wasn't put on properly. When they tested it, they tried to, you know, they fill it up, pressurize it, and saw that it was leaking. So you go, uh-oh, that's not good. And then send it back to the workshop, which is quite difficult. It's like sending an entire building back to the workshop. They've got to, take the rocket, it rolls back to the vehicle assembly building, and they try to fix it. And then they roll it back out and do another test and see if it works. So that's where they're at with that. It's still hopefully on track for an April launch sometime, whenever the launch window opens. And then, maybe it'll get off the ground.
So what's really interesting about this return to the moon, and there are very many aspects, and the moon is proven that it doesn't have any life, so most likely a lot of people will go there to exploit it and mine it and build things on it. And in the Artemis Accords, there are principles that are intended to preserve historically significant landing sites and artifacts. So, for example, the picture that one of the astronauts of the Apollo missions left on the moon. And I don't know, the first, would you preserve the first steps on the moon? I would have, if I was the chief of the moon, I would have all of the Apollo landing sites preserved.
I do hope, though,
protected.
I do hope that we get astronauts on the moon, so that the astronauts that went last time, at least some of them get to see that people have returned to the moon. You know, because they're all getting on a bit now, aren't they? Well, they are. It would be cool. Like Buzz Aldrin, I'm sure he'd love to see people walking back on the moon.
Yeah.
He's like in his 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So that would be quite cool.
Yeah.
NASA, of course, has a new administrator, Jared Isaacman. That took a while for him to get picked, because if you remember last year, there was a lot of toing and froing about who was going to be the big cheese of NASA or not. Anyway, he's the one, and he was quoted as saying, "We're going to get our astronauts back to the surface of the moon," presumably he was talking about. So obviously they're obviously still keen to get ahead with the Artemis program, so it's not slowing down. But like Harry said, it's got to be done safely.
Yeah, it's not. But it's not just just America. China has got a lot of activity, and China hasn't signed the Artemis Accords.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So then we hope that when they go there, they're going to preserve the science and they're going to preserve the history. And it is an important thing to discuss, because we have done this to our planet for so many times. We went places and now they are unrecognizable because, and I think I'm biased with my biosecurity hat on and my planetary protection hat on, where you have an island, for example, like New Zealand, that used to have everything on it, just with native plants and animals, and now it's not. We have a lot of other things from other places in the world, and it is what it is. But it is important that we think about these, and even if we just think about them, because there's always like the idea, oh, someone else somewhere is thinking about them, but it's not true. Every single person can think about these things, and every single person can say about it. And here I am saying that it is a thing that we should all consider, how we're going to go back to the moon, how we're going to treat the moon, and how we're going to live on the moon in
Well,
the
it's so,
future.
so going back to like how we go back to the moon is an engineering problem, which we already know how to do. Really, the hard question is, what are we going to do with the moon? Isn't it?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
that requires that, the grown-ups to think pretty hard about how they're going to manage that. Australia is sending a rover to the moon
Yay.
called Roover,
Rover, yeah.
like
Yay.
kangaroo with a VR on the end,
Yeah.
like Roover. So a suitcase-sized robot that's going to go to the moon. And there's also some other moon missions planned this year from the US and China, different rovers and things heading up there and other small landers and things. We saw a bunch of these last year. There were some spectacular failures as well from, there was two, wasn't there? One, two that fell over. There's a Japanese one as well. So all this kind of proves that, space is kind of difficult to do. It's hard to get things off the Earth safely, and it's hard to get them to land on the moon safely as well. So, we just sort of glibly talk about these things like they're real easy to do, but they're not. They're
They're not, but
quite tricky.
we have to become a spacefaring civilization because there is technology, the technology that is being developed from sending people to space is the one that has supported humanity in the last 50 years to evolve the GPS technology, the medical technology, air filter technology, all of that space spin-offs they got to improve life on Earth. And even if it's for that alone, we have to be going out of planet Earth. Maybe not for too far away, but a little bit at least.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe not Mars just yet. Well, we've almost run out of time again. So make sure you go and check out the comet. It's kind of around the
And the
4th or so
movie.
of April. And the movie,
Yeah.
Project Hail Mary.
They're very
It'll be very
important.
cool.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
And you'll hear from us next time. Clear skies.
Yeah, clear skies, everyone.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.